Honduras, and then even the Organization of American States saying the last election was not legitimate, the U.S. continues to support that government. How does that link what's happening there to the violence there?
We keep supporting our military allies. It was President Otto Perez Molina in Guatemala was one of the intelligence leaders responsible for my husband's 3 years of torture. And they knew that when he was running for office, and the State Department still covered for him, saying he was a reformist, for example. But what we're doing is, we're through our intelligence agencies, we're still giving massive support and protection to keep these military units in place and in total power over each of these countries so that they'll do what we want with their countries. And in return, we cast a blind eye. Well, they set up these hideous drug-running cartels that are chasing these people up here and which eventually are going to land right here. And there already are signs of that in Texas. And if we haven't done our part to put those people in prison by releasing our files and halting military support for them, through elections and otherwise, then we're going to get what we deserve.
Human rights attorney Jennifer Harbury, I spoke to her on the border in Brownsville, Texas, last week. This is Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman.
KVU Community Radio holds an open meeting concerning the operations and programming of KVU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KVU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be conducted at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Program Advisory Committee meets the second Tuesday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and Northwest String Summit, now in their 17th year, providing a family-friendly music camping festival featuring Green Sky, Bluegrass, Yonder Mountain String Band, and more, July 19th through July 22nd at Horning's Hideout in North Plains. Tickets and more information online at stringsummit.com.
KBOO Portland.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO, your community radio station, and this is More Talk Radio. I am Cecil Prescott, and I will be joined shortly by Celeste Carey. On today is July 9th, 2018, and I greet you. Hopefully, you are doing well. It's always interesting to listen to Democracy Now! And to try to follow it because, as is the case, there's so much news that shocked, maybe not shock anymore, but certainly gets me so angry and so concerned about the state of our world today. I moan the fact of where we are as a nation and as a world. A few minutes ago, another person here at KBOO passed by and asked how were things going, and I responded, some people see things as half full, others see things as half empty, referring to the proverbial glass, whether you see it half filled or half empty. And coming out of that news segment, I must say that for me, this day I see things as half empty. There's lots going on, especially much we must do to transform our world. And there is so much, many things we need to do to continue to support one another. This day, Celeste and I thought we would geared our conversations this morning to reflect on what are signs of things that not necessarily shock you, but try to put things in perspective. And so we'll have some conversation about different topics that we see in the news today, and your responses to it. Let me remind you that we invite your phone calls. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and we will certainly solicit your responses, your concerns, and your opinions. So what are things that are either disturbing you or put you over the top? Celeste mentioned a couple of things that I'll defer to her, but one thing that I thought would be interesting, you know, this is this time of the year where there are lots of music festivals, and here in Portland, Oregon, we just this past few days just had the Blues Festival, and so many of you are going to your favorite festival or concerts this time of year, and we both came across this event, and maybe you are familiar with, and it's one of those things that, you know, I just have to roll my eyes on reading it. It was about the Montreal International Jazz Festival, which, you know, it sounds like some place to, you know, hang out and have your favorite wine and eating your cheese and,
you know,
whatever.
Groovy, look cool. It used to be cool. I remember hearing some of my dad's jazz albums, and some of them had been recorded at, you know, Montreal Jazz Festival.
Well, yeah.
You expect innovative things, you know, coming out of that.
So let me read this one article, because it was innovative. Well,
you know, I had to question, I'm going to go there. I had to question your literacy level, if you're going to call that innovative.
Okay.
Because innovative has a positive connotation to it.
it might. Well, anyway, in case you don't know, so the Montreal International Jazz Festival has canceled the performances of a slave song show featuring a predominantly white cast
and white face, no less,
and apologized to those who were hurt. Wednesday's announcement came as festival's organizers faced mounting pressures over Slav, S-L-A-V, including Moses Sumney's decision to cancel his scheduled concert Tuesday night in protest. Since the beginning of Slave performances, the festival team has been shaken and strongly affected by all comments received, the festival said in a statement. We would like to apologize to those who were hurt. It was not our intention at all. The collaboration between theater director Robert LePage and singer Betty Bonifaci, both white, raised some eyebrows when it was announced last fall. But the controversy broke into the open at last week's premiere. Protesters gathered outside the venue, and patrons passed through a police cordon to enter the theater. Sumney, a rising soul star, announced his cancellation on the eve of his Tuesday night show, opting to perform at non-festival club. In a letter to festival organizer that he released, he said, "It was not okay to have white performers singing slave songs in any context. Especially not while they are dressed like poor field workers or cotton pickers. Especially not while they are directed by a white director in a theater charging loads of money. This kind of black imitation is very reminiscent of blackface minstrel shows. The only thing missing is black paint. And, you know, it goes on and on and on. But, you know, I'm not sure. And, you know, maybe we're being artistic and we're trying to create
autistic
controversy.
Don't talk bad about people who have autism. I have that run in my family. Don't blame that. No. Autism does not get blamed for that.
Okay.
You know, I had to go run and get my tea because I heard my water boil. But, you know, that falls under the category of what I call the SMH news. Okay. It's not earth-shaking, but it is significant enough to cause, oh, I don't know, like maybe maybe 4.5 quake on the SMH scale, shaking my head.
SMH, yeah.
You know, because it messes up things. It messes up your faith in people and their ability to determine anything from right and wrong to bad move, or just that was gauche, or you got two left feet going on and stop for a minute. You know, you get to thinking, is there any type of critical measuring metric going on in your consciousness?
Well, I can see.
You know, that's what I would think if I saw that.
If it was just one person and they came up with an idea and decided to stage it in their front yard and can say,
front yard, oh my God.
You know, that's okay. But here's a major music festival and
Highly respected,
and you have dozens and dozens of people, and just you would think that somebody would say, exactly.
You know, things that make you go, hmm.
But then, you know, people, you know, you spend thousands of dollars and
you know.
Yeah, SMH news, indeed.
Well, there was a lot of SMH news going on, and I was trying to figure out. I talked to Cecil yesterday, and then we talked this morning, and we were trying to figure out how to do this. And, you know, and I told him that I was kind of glad with the decision I had made yesterday to go with something a little bit lighter, even though it still has enough grit and gravitas to gum up the gears. Oh, I got all them G's in.
Yeah, G's.
Yo, G'd out, yo. But, you know, it's just sometimes, and especially after today's Democracy Now!, it was really deep. And so I had been thinking last night, let's kind of change it. And maybe instead of dealing with the heavier issues, deal with something that is significant. It still falls under the category of shaking my head, and it's important enough to gum up the works, but it's something maybe that we can kind of like feel that we came up with some kind of halfway workable or logical or possible solution, so maybe we can accomplish something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, you know, okay, folks, we're going to throw out 2-3 topics. You got to pick just one. And tell me how you would deal with it in this crazy world we live in right now, where the most insane and unimaginable things are happening every day. And so if we can solve even a small one, it makes us feel like we're not totally out of control. So, you mentioned the play.
The
Slave.
Slave, yeah. The musical. coming to your community
no,
theater near you
I hope
soon.
Never. You know, I hope that would be a moment when everybody would stop and say no. You know, I'm scared to breathe while being a person of color. And here we have on the other end of the spectrum folks celebrating the oppression, murder, exploitation of labor of African descendants in a musical. Okay, here's another shaking my head note. Tell me how you would deal with this, especially if you were a person of color. You know, we've been having all these memes and these statements about doing this or that or the other while black, you know. So here's one that just, I was just left speechless. It goes past Pool Patty, who was the woman who beat the young black kids up around the head because they were in the swimming pool. Yes. It goes beyond the guy at the homeowners association telling the woman of color that she can't come into a place where she lives because it's only for residents to use the pool, or the black woman playing on the golf course told they can't be there, or the black family at the Catholic church told to get their dead it relative out and take the funeral somewhere else. The black woman campaigning in Oregon happened, the police called her. This is a black man doing his job. He got a job. Wearing his uniform, he's a public safety servant. Okay? In a backyard, doing a fire safety check in full fire regalia, fire person regalia. And he gets the police called on him because he's doing something suspicious.
Yeah, of course.
So that's like a real shake in your head. Because look, okay, here it goes against the whole idea. First, black man got a job. Okay, then he's wearing his uniform. Okay, then he's trying to make sure people are safe. He's edumacated, y'all. He doing the job for you. Okay, you don't believe him. You asking for some ID, even though he's rolling in a police, I mean, in a firefighter uniform. You don't believe that. Then he hands you his ID, and you say, that ain't you. I want some more ID. What? How do we get past these moments? Because this is what it's like to be a person of color. I'm scared to walk out my door. I have days when I just think I'm going to go off because somebody's going to say something stupid and I'm going to be dead. Because you can't even lay on the ground when you are approached by a police officer. Lay on the ground on your face and throw your arms and legs out. You can't do that because you still will get shot. So how do we deal with this? Mm-hmm. And then one that's a little bit more comical, but it still shows how we kind of have done some drift. We love our pets. We love them dearly. And they do right by us because they put up with us and all of our aforementioned insanity. And so I'm a pet person. I've had pets of all species. Well, maybe not all.
Species.
Yeah. I've pet slugs, pet salamanders, birds, snakes, frogs, tadpoles, newts, cats, dogs, guinea pigs.
Like Dr. Doolittle or
hey,
Noah.
One time in my dorm room when I was going to St. Louis U, I had a dog, an albino Angora guinea pig, three newts, a crayfish, and a gerbil who was hell on wheels. He was mean.
In your dorm room?
In my dorm room. I didn't have a...
Did you have a roommate?
Clean. No,
oh,
I didn't
did.
Have a roommate.
Okay.
I have a roommate. And and the cleaning staff loved me because they didn't have to do squat. I said, I got it covered, you know. You know. And so, you know, but we love our animals. And, okay, we probably love them extra because they don't do some of the shaking your head stuff that people are doing to us. So I can understand how people will say, I love my dog better than I love people. I understand that. But why don't we treat our dog like a dog? Here's two things I've been reading in the news lately that's got me just shaking my head.
Okay.
Number one, okay, dogs are carnivores. They just are. Don't make them vegan. Don't make them vegetarian. I don't even want to get in. I mean, do I have to explain it? And then, yeah, we want our pets to relax. I say acupuncture and massage are really good for pets, or just petting them with love. But why we got to get our pets high? Doctors, vets, y'all, are reporting more and more dogs suffering from marijuana poisoning. Okay, that might seem like really trivial and frothy, Celeste. Why are we talking about meringue? Well, like I said, it's been extra heavy on the news front today. And plus, these small things, they kind of do gum up our works. They're the kind of things, when you shake your head often enough, oh, I don't know, you might just kind of like erupt into a Richter scale size quake because sure. Your head explodes. Anyway, join us. It's a chance to, you know, just kind of solve at least one problem of the world and feel like we're not helpless before this onslaught of insanity. 503-231-8187. And thanks, folks, for hanging on. We'll go to our first caller. Hi, Harvey. Thanks for holding.
Hi there. Well, I'd like to make two comments. One on the large picture is that we're actually involved in the struggle to save our planet. This is the biggest, you might say,
now, Harvey, don't go too heavy now. We're trying to keep it, like, you know, okay. A little foamy.
Okay. All right. And, well, it's the battle between fossil fuels and renewable energy. And, of course, the fossil fuels are trying to hang on because they are so used to running the planet. But this is what we're faced with. And, of course, they will create, through distraction, they will create a scenario where we... to try to shift the battle, that we see each other as the other. And so that's like Trump, like the constant soap opera that's going on. Meanwhile, look what's happening behind the scenes there. He's pushing coal, oil, nuclear, and oil, and natural gas. And secondly, on the human level, I feel that we will, if you look worldwide, I mean, you have racial prejudice here in America, but if you look around the world, there's every group is against every group, and that's just the way it works. Like North Korea, South Korea. I mean, it doesn't matter, the Israelis, the Palestinians. Everybody finds a reason, but everybody's against everybody. And the only time I believe that we will stop seeing each other as the other is when we encounter the extraterrestrial, a creature or creatures so different from us that suddenly we will all see each other as the same, forget the slight variations of skin color or this or that. That's when we will come together. But until then, I think we're going to continue and be urged by the media in general, who are essentially owned, most of them, by the fossil fuel industries worldwide, to be at each other's throats, and that'll be the status quo until
E.T. comes here. So let's call E.T.
I'm not calling E.T.
Okay.
But thanks. That's a distraction. But we'll just focus on that. What did they call it on Star Trek Next Generation, First Encounter? Yeah. All right. So we'll roll with that. Okay. Thanks for the call, Harvey. I think we sometimes don't think about what if these beings from other planets or dimensions or states of awareness come here, and what if they have factions? How do we know they're all enlightened just because they have travel? I mean, for real.
Yeah. Our numbers here, I mean, maybe they made a, you know, got on the
maybe
wrong
there's east
exit.
Side, west side for them, too.
Yes. Well, if you, we welcome all callers, even extraterrestrials. So our numbers are 503-231-8187.
Don't call collect.
Well,
if you're extraterrestrial, don't call collect.
Well,
no, seriously, if you got that kind of technology, pay for your own call if you are extraterrestrial.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying. Don't put your dime on us.
Let's go to our next caller.
Good morning, John.
Thanks for waiting, John.
Little T, little R, little U, little M, and puny P. That's what I know that's simplistic, but I heard a speech last month, whatever. He was in who knows place, you know, some, you know, way back place. And he put his hands on his hip and looked around really smug. And he says, are there any Hispanics in this area? And he said, I didn't think so. And the crowd went wild.
Oh.
I mean, it's just, I'm sorry, but the 18 months he's been in there, I mean, just listening to some political people, so-called intellectuals, they were begging the American public not to elect him. And, you know, everything's coming true. And it's giving the carte blanche for ignorant white people, not all. I'm talking to ones who are just, you know, GED people. I'm sorry to say that. I'm white.
It's not just GED people. There are so-called intellectual people who voted for Trump.
Well, yeah, I give you that. But look at the...
And 40% of the population... The population continues to support the president.
Well, at least they tell us it's 40%. It seemed like a whole lot.
Well, but also it's competition of resources. You know, I think some people subconsciously or consciously, they know the sun's coming down on America's power, and we're not the big boys on the block anymore.
The empire
and, you know,
is collapsing.
Empire overreach.
Yeah, well, and then they're seeing what's going on in the world, and we don't have control of the world anymore. And so people are on this whole panic, you know, whole thing. But I know it's a kind of simplistic, opinion. But, you know, when, you know, W was in there and when H was in there, even when Ronald Reagan, you didn't really see the, you know, just out blatant, you know, like the lady with a swimming pool going up there. Well, whatever.
Well, see, it wasn't on TV because we knew that it was happening, but didn't anybody else want to believe it?
Yeah, but the media is almost like glorifying it or just really just...
Glorifying it? I don't think the media
glorify it, but you know...
No, what I mean the media is not... All they're doing is shining the spotlight on it. This madness has been happening just as absurdly as it is now. That's one of the scary things about it. That's why you have to reduce it to a shaking, you know, your head moment, because you realize, well, gee, it's not like this is new.
Well, but you know, there are people who think they have a free ticket to do it.
Well,
I know it's, like I said, I'm simplistic.
Oh,
you know,
no, yeah, no. Yeah.
Way looking at it, yeah. But it seems like...
I agree with you. There seems to be at least a no holds bar, let it all out, and as, you know, the media, shines on these things that... you know, have always been happening. It seems as if there's a certain boldness and permission, and no shame attached to these behaviors. So,
well, if you just, you know, the couple times I've listened to his speeches, I can read between the lines.
Speeches.
Yeah, well, yeah, and so, well, anyway. I know it's kind of simplistic, but I'm noticing, you know, the temperature rising. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all I'm trying to say. Right. But thanks for letting me vent.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187, and we'll go to our next caller, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning. How are you?
Shaking my head.
Yeah, that was tough this morning listening to... It's always tough listening to the news in the morning. It's so overwhelming sometimes, first thing you're getting up. But I feel like it's my duty a lot of times. But this morning, took the cake, the woman that was telling the real... But I have to say, I really appreciate hearing someone like her really show the cause and effect, why we're dealing with things. But overall, I just want to say the things that helps me keep perspective on this are two things that I've learned from reading, and one was from Howard Zinn's book, People's History, when he talks about Civil War and race relations, and how he shows that it's really, when you look at the population, when you have the haves and the have-nots, and you got all these have-nots, how can you divide them? Well, the easy one is they're different colors. So you use that to divide the have-nots so that they don't cause trouble. And that's, you just see it all the time. And then when you look at Trump and the way that he stirs the pot constantly. That's not a mistake. That's not incompetence. That's basically like what I learned from reading Naomi Klein's Shock Doctrine. That's disaster capitalism. He's stirring the pot, and he's making it like a feeding frenzy for the vultures.
Oh, yeah. That's why I tell people, you know, he may not be as literate as some of our past presidents, but do not think that he is dumb as a rock by any means. You know, he has what I call that native cunning, you know, the kind of cunning that smart rocks have when they figure out how to get to the top of the pile.
Well, he's been involved in acting and doing his show. He knows what he's doing.
Exactly.
He knows how to talk dumb. He knows how to
get money out of people.
Up his base and speak at their level.
Yep.
And he could probably put on a little bit of a smart Trump thing if he wanted to, but he does the dumb thing because that gets him. He's talking my language.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all of this is smoke and mirrors and a bunch of distraction from the way that that our country has used race as a power tool, and the way that we've used this confusion and this and disaster, and everything from, you know, I was laying wait for any kind of natural disaster. You know, if Mother Nature serves one up, oh, that's just gravy. You know, that's great. We don't even have to create an economic disaster.
Mm-hmm. We just pull a ready-made plan off the shelf and plug it in.
Yeah, just plug it in, and then of course when you put terrible people in places of power like FEMA, and they screw up, that just feeds more into your plan, because look at that, government can't help you. Well, they set it up to not help you. So it's just, anyway, that's my take on this stuff. And then just to see how this plays out at the border now, to see that all that stuff that we've done down south to create this ferment, to create the drug cartels, and then it comes north, and then we blame the victims. It's like, it's just more of this smoke and mirrors distraction. And who does it hurt? It hurts the people that have the least.
All righty. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for giving me a chance for that uplifting speech.
Okay. Hey, thank you. You stay well.
Mm-hmm.
And you are listening to KBOO, your community radio station. Coming up this morning at 9 on the old Mo Variety Hour, there will be discussion about electoral politics, reproductive rights in front of the Supreme Court, Socialism Day School, and a review of the book, The Glitch. At 10, Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein talks with one of the protesters arrested after forming an aerial blockade of the British Columbia Bridge to stop oil tankers from leaving Vancouver. At 11, Health Watch explains warning signs and treatments of Lyme disease. 11:30, Retired or Rewired, a series on aging in Portland. And all of these KBOO programs are made possible by you, our members' support. If you like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on donate. But in the meantime, you're listening to More Talk Radio. We're talking about things, SMH news. Things that make you just want to shake your head.
Yeah, but not just talking about it. You know, maybe approaching some of these small shaking your head news articles with possible solutions, so we can come away feeling like we still have the ability to affect change, even if it seems overwhelming. So when you call, pick one of those and, you know, give us your solution. 503. Oh, go ahead.
No, I just, you know, and give us the solutions, such as in UK, Boris Johnson resigned as the foreign secretary, which might, you know, who knows what that might mean. Maybe Brexit will not happen. We'll see.
Well, whether it happens or not, you know, the thing is the EU is falling apart, and so they have to figure out what's their new iteration. That's really what this is coming down to, because these fault lines have been there for a while. Just ask the Irish and the Scots. 503-231-8187, and we'll go to... Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning. Intrinsic Hope, a book written by Kate Davies. She was just interviewed on KBOO Sunday morning, Pathways, and you can podcast that. So it was like yesterday. And that's on Divination 8:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And she said, we can do things like, first of all, find what we're grateful for in our own immediate life. You know, we do create our own reality. No matter where you live, find some time in nature, even if it's sitting on the curb right near where you live. Because David Orr, a poet, said, hope is love with its sleeves rolled up. And Bill Moyers said, hope that doesn't do anything, any action is toxic. So in our own little way, with the people we run into on the bus or we're in our neighborhood, we don't need to carry. I just listened to Amy on Democracy Now. Yeah. So, of course, we have a heavy heart. But in our own immediate world, we can present that positive. Because, like Mary Oliver said, at the end of your life, it's like you've got one life. Whose life was it? So you don't want to waste the opportunity to at least take your own responsibility.
Yes.
And, you know, I have friends who are very multilingual, and the notion of Pollyanna, that concept, doesn't even exist in many romance languages.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's something we've come across as an antidote to somebody finding positive ways to get through their 24/7.
All right.
Hey, thank you so much.
Yes.
And reminding us, Kate Davies says, you know, humankind has an intrinsic capacity for hope. This is not about expecting that life will give us what we want. Rather, it's an unshakable faith in whatever happens and in our ability to respond to it positively. This type of hope is about coming from love instead of fear, generosity instead of scarcity, and connection instead of separation. Fundamentally, intrinsic hope is life's love for itself. Listen to that podcast here on KBOO and hold on to that hope. Thank you so much for sharing that this morning.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to add a little bit of something to that. You know, when you see something that needs to be dealt with, whether it's a small thing in your life, like pick that cup up off the floor, you know, where you were sitting or lying and reading and you've left your half full cup on the floor, to stepping in and running interference for somebody that's being mistreated in some way, don't hesitate when you should act. You know, carpe diem, seize the day, is not just about going out and figuring out a way to make a buck. Sometimes it's about mending the world at one small step at a time. And I think that and never giving up to try again, or never failing to try more, are two important ways to deal with things that are kind of tangential or parallel to what Ruth just said. So,
yeah.
You know, because we're not going to, you know, even with the shaking your head news, you're not going to solve it. Well, you could stop feeding your dogs tofu.
Well, or sharing your stash with them. I don't know.
Okay. So marijuana laced dog biscuits. Yeah. Don't get your pooch high. Just say no. They already have a euphoria that they love to indulge in. It's called loving you.
Our number is 503-231-8182. 8-7.
But you started down it. It was that hysteria effect. What is the number?
I started slowing down.
Do we have a number?
Looking at it. Come on, Celeste. Give me that last number.
I don't know. What is it?
503-231-8187. What are things? I'll ask caller Ruth. In addition to the SMH news, things that make us just shake our head, what are the things that are signs of hope? What is it? Where does it lie for you? And how do you share it with those around us? Even when we're watching Slave, a musical brought to you by good, well-meaning people.
I have to question that. I do. I mean, I don't know if it's because he is a Quebecois that, he was isolated and thought that was a good thing. And it's like Canadian history has got to have some at least echo of the fact that lots of slaves escaped to the north. That's why they would look for the side of the tree that had the moss on it. Mm-hmm. Where's the North Star? Go north. And being Quebecois, you would think he would think about that being other. And wait a minute, how do I feel when people make fun of me? Maybe I shouldn't have a play. I shouldn't write a play about white people slinging plantation songs and being in slavery. Maybe that's not a good idea. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm not. No, he ain't getting a bye on this one.
Let's go. Let's go to our next caller. Maybe, and Tim has some wisdom to share. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. I don't know how wise I am, but here goes. I believe in hope, and I believe in the positive, in positive change, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I've been to Chile when Pinochet was dictator.
Yes.
And I lived in Paraguay for 2 years when Stroessner was dictator. And when it comes to the point where the squads are at your door and they're going to shoot you dead, rape your wife, and rape your kids, you need more than hope.
Well, that's true.
You need something more. So I believe we need a multi-pronged approach to social change. We need people who believe in peaceful demonstration, peaceful organization, to swear off violence en masse and do en masse protests.
Okay.
But we also need to be prepared.
And what does prepared
especially
mean?
Now.
I mean, because I hear you saying, on one hand, We need anti-violent responses to some of this, but what does prepared mean in the face of this heinous violence? What is your vision of prepared?
Prepared for me means, as much as I hate it, it means we need to be ready to fight. We need to be ready to defend ourselves.
Now, do you mean physically fight? How do you mean fight?
Physically fight with guns, with grenades, ambushing patrols, seizing their clothes and their weapons, and training our people to defend ourselves.
So how does this statement mesh with your previous statement about how to protest?
Mm-hmm. Nonviolently.
I'm not saying we're going to attack. I'm saying to be prepared to defend ourselves.
Okay, but you did say ambush, and that's an attack.
Right. Well, yeah. If it comes to the point where there's martial law, and the army is occupying our homes and rounding up thousands of people who dissent, then you do the ambush.
I need some clarification because you began by being very, it seems to me, very insistent in times of the type of protest when you say nonviolent. I'm not sure whether you use that word, but it seemed as if you were insistent that was the type of protest we need to do.
And what I'm saying is we need a multi-pronged approach. Because
okay.
Many people, some people can't do the violence.
Uh-huh.
But they can do a nonviolent thing. Some people can't get out to the streets, but they can donate. They can make phone trees. They can call. They can provide safe houses. They can do lots of things that they can't do. Maybe they can't do physically. But every approach is important for social change. At the same time, we need people building alternative institutions.
Okay, so I got a question here for you, Tim, because I hear what you're saying. You're saying we need to have a more than passive response to this oppression, but I got a problem because I'm going to go back to some shaking my head news. You got a man who's out here being a public servant, taking care of public safety, and somebody calls the police on him and demands to see an ID, and then not satisfied when seeing a governmental ID. So what I'm saying is there's going to be exclusion and there's going to be some kind of metric whereby one person is allowed in this particular area of protest and another isn't. I mean, we talk about, for example, here in the United States, regardless of what end of the political spectrum you fall on, you find people who believe that armed resistance is important. Okay, and Antifa is the liberal iteration of that. So dig this. If black people get up and get some guns, I don't think a lot of progressive people are going to feel comfortable with that. So let's get to some attitudes about how are we going to get together and form these resistive factions when we can't even agree on who could be in our faction.
Well, you're right. There are some progressive people who would be freaked out at that, but there's a lot of progressive people who would not be too. And I think what we need, I don't know what we need. I mean, it's, I think what we could do, maybe.
Okay. I know I've thrown you a curve, but we got a whole bunch of people lined up to call, so put your fast batteries in the thinking cap.
Yeah, I don't want to portray myself as someone who really embraces violence. I'm not. I'm just trying to be realistic. I mean, when I was in Chile, the people were terrified. No one would talk to anybody. Everyone thought everyone else was a spy.
Mm-hmm.
People were disappearing all over the place. And there was nothing, almost nothing they could do. There was some resistance, but it was small and squashed.
Well, but eventually people did resist.
Eventually,
so it sounds like
in the meantime.
It sounds like you want people to keep having faith in each other enough to talk to each other at least.
Absolutely.
At least do that.
There is hope because like you say, like look what happened to Chile, it changed.
Right.
And Argentina changed.
Right.
Even Paraguay changed.
Okay.
So there is hope. But
make it active hope by talking to people. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
All right. You take care.
Uh-huh.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO.FM. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And this morning we are soliciting your words of wisdom.
Yeah, to keep things light. And, you know, as Tim was saying, yeah, it's scary because we're talking about armed, you know, resistance and how that even can be visualized and thought of, let alone acted out. But the one thing I do here is keep talking to each other, keep being willing to get out and do something on behalf of another person without thought of personal gain so that the relationships stay strong. Okay, that was a little reductionist, but it still works.
And we have a couple of callers online. So let's go to Mike.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Love the conversation. I really like KBOO and the opportunity to have this voice heard. in America these days. So a couple thoughts. Number one, all politics is local. So what you're saying is right on. Read the Constitution. The Second Amendment doesn't give this NRA gun lobbyist organization the right that everybody to have arms. It's for a well-regulated
militia.
Okay, that's what it's about. Emphasize that. You know, it should be the state National Guard because we have federalism, state rights. That's the first conversation. The second thing to keep a light on your method is that I've been really embracing, and I've got a medical background, the cannabis plant. And so when people talk about marijuana, Richard Nixon stigmatized that word by encoding it in the statute, the Controlled Substance Act. And that's what's given it that stigma. The pet thing, I really love pets. CBD doesn't affect the psychoactive, is the important element that can calm pets down, not the THC. The THC is the mind-altering cannabinoid, okay? So people don't understand it. It's the stigma, it's the confusion, the information.
Well,
that's what
okay,
it's
we're not talking about the stigma. That's not even entering into the conversation. So, you know, I don't want to take up your time by going over something that's we're not even, it's a non-issue. What I think is important is, remember, animals have certain biological imperatives that we need to respect. So, you know, that's why I kind of shake my head when I see people making a vegan out of their carnivore. It's like, but you want to be who you are. Why don't you let the dog be who he is or she is? You know, and stop trying to make over everything in an image instead of experiencing and enjoying things the way they really are.
I agree. And so my role as an educator is basically to say we all have an endocannabinoid system in our body that makes cannabinoids. Dogs do too. All animals do. Okay? And that is what has happened the last 100 years by not having natural plant cannabinoids that we were used to over the centuries and millennia. And because of that, our efficiency is less. Therefore, the CBD or cannabidiol, this cannabinoid, is very rich and not psychoactive and helps people relax, including animals that are, you know, nervous.
Okay.
So that's all it is.
Okay, that's good. Thanks a lot. Again, I'm not addressing any aspect of marijuana use among people. Haven't been a nurse. And especially in the early 80s when they were experimenting with all forms of marijuana in a pharmaceutical environment for cancer treatment, you know, and doing hospice for that, I don't have a problem with it. I'm talking about us forgetting our pets and our animal friends being who they are.
I was just thinking as you were discussing this with our caller, it occurred to me, you know, with the terror that many animals and people face with the noise over the last few days over the holidays, that maybe we could have done more to calm ourselves and our pets by using the wisdom that you and our callers use.
All right. Well,
good morning, Dylan. Dill?
Yes.
Good morning.
We talk about how we reach one another, and I think it's kind of interesting because I think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yes.
And beginning at the very bottom, like, you know, the most important needs, the psychological need to feel safe and, you know, and I think that when we talk about before I can, you know, I first want to feel safe and then I need to secure food and I need to secure shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can move on to these other things. And it often makes me wonder how many of us are so trapped and our day-to-day needs to feel safe. So when we talk about the Black experience in America, you know, it's like, wow, you know, I've gone to college, I've got a job, and yet my psychological need to feel safe has not even been fulfilled. So how can I go out into this world and open up and be this, I guess, receptive individual, and how do we all grow? So how many of us are experiencing trauma that we can't even reach one another? And how much of that trauma is generated through our day-to-day operations? So when we live in a world of endless war, when we live in a world where economic safety isn't guaranteed, we are all on different planes of that hierarchy of needs. And before I can reach self-actualization, I first must be secure in the most basic needs of life. So I don't fault those who maybe don't understand where someone else might be. I don't judge individuals about what they don't know. It's we have to continue to educate and empower one another, and that process is not easy. Mm-hmm. And I think we're just going to have to be willing to point out that I think the contradictions, the irony of a Donald Trump is how can you go into a West Virginia and talk about coal jobs when you send your kid to the best business school in America, mm-hmm. you know, without seeing that value of that coal guy saying maybe you need to send your children to the best school in America somehow, some way. So this idea that we are setting up legacy for those who are entitled, and now we're talking about challenging privilege, and we can't challenge privilege if I can't even put food on my table.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if I'm not very even sure I can, if I can walk outside my door without getting hurt,
yes.
to put
yes.
food on the table.
So the uncertainty that we talk about, like when we bring out the irony, I think we have to be, we can't be afraid to call out the irony in a Donald Trump. And I'll never forget the image of the Black person who showed up at his rally, and he said in the old days they would have carried him out of here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if that's not this explicit call to saying, see, back in the day you wouldn't have had to deal with this disrespect, but is it really disrespectful for someone to say that I too am a citizen? So I think we're fighting some contradictions in our society. And ugliness usually comes out when people feel safe. And for a long time, we ran that ugliness into the dark. And I think that in one way, Donald Trump just really allowed the ugliness to shine through, and the fact that it really didn't go anywhere. It just kind of transformed into a different type of being.
Yep.
And now that rawness is reappearing, and we have to keep fighting it. And I honestly believe that progress is not something that's always about moving forward. Sometimes you find yourself set back because of new problems, new identity, so on. But anyway, I'll let you guys go. And I just wanted to share that. And thank you for the conversation.
Hey.
Well, thank you for the call and reminding us that we have small steps to overcome before we can get to big steps sometimes, just breathing.
And thank you for raising Abraham Maslow.
Yes. Got one more call. Let's see if we can squeeze it in. Good morning, Linda. You're on the air. Hello, Linda.
For your show.
Oh, okay. There you are. You're on now. Linda.
Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
It's Celeste. It's Linda. Hey, I wanted to bring up this issue of violence in protest because I keep hearing, I know you weren't these guys, but Abe and Joe especially really wax eloquent about how violence wasn't a part of our history, really, and we don't need it and all that. So I just want to say there were over 100 bombings. They were sabotage bombings during the Vietnam War that did not kill but one person by accident. That was a form of violence. People call it violence, though it used to be called sabotage. And mm-hmm. it was used to dramatically say, this armory, they picked military targets, et cetera, that these are part of the bastion that's causing this war. Stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I get nervous when I talk about something really controversial, because I'm not advocating violence. But I am saying, and then how many, quote, race riots did we have, especially right after Martin Luther King was killed? And then how many prison riots did we have? I think hundreds, literally. And we can't forget that mixed in with the history of peaceful marches were people who reached their boiling point, who said, enough is enough. I will not tolerate you killing people in my name. I will not tolerate you killing me in this prison. I will not tolerate being, you know, ground underfoot. I am going to resist in a way stronger than peaceful marches that you can ignore.
Hey.
And that was a very strong part of the whole movement of both civil rights and anti-war and women's rebellion even. And I think that it's really wrong when we write it out of history because we rob ourselves of knowledge that we may need in the future. Now, things are extremely difficult. I'm not saying you could safely do any of what I just said. But what I'm saying is people reach a point under dominance. And I say we've moved into full fascism when we will lock up families who legally came to this country.
Thank you so much.
So,
we're out of time.
I'm sorry, Linda. It is 8:59. You are listening to Your Community Connection. Stay tuned for the Old Mo Variety Hour. Thank you, everyone, for the conversation. We don't have to agree, but we do have to discourse civilly here on Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland.
How do we empower local people to work together to improve their communities? What's the right mix of assistance and autonomy necessary to support grassroots organizations? Come on over to Local Folks Podcast and meet the Gleaners, local people who work hard to provide food and firewood to needy families in their communities. They can teach us a lot about how to mobilize and support local people to solve local problems. You can find Local Folks at kboo.fm, go to audio, list of programs, podcasts, web only, and click on Local Folks.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.